Welcome to Vanity Project, episode 15. Whoa, that's right. 15 vain people. We've listened to their albums, we've reviewed them, and we've got another one today. I'm thrilled because we are listening to a great album today. But not only am I joined by wonderful James, but another special guest. But before we get to that, we'll leave you on tenterhooks for just a moment more. James, colleague, co-host, how are you?
I'm well, Bridie. You said you were going to write out your intro for this episode because you had panicked.
Did you write that out? That was word for word. Didn't you see me referring to my cue cards?
Because there was a little pause after I'm and before thrilled where I thought, has she forgotten her own name? And then you've teased our guest. I think we should get to him right away. So we are reviewing this week one of the worst albums I think we've ever done.
It's awful.
It's Billy Bob Thornton's Private Radio. And for it, I think we have to bring in one of, for my reckoning, pound for pound, one of the best comedians Australia has, Greg Larson, to take us through one of the worst albums I've ever heard in my life. Greg, thank you for enduring this.
That was high praise. Thank you. I'm definitely not one of the best comedians. I'm a little grub, but cool, and thank you. And yeah, this album, wow.
Yeah, okay. I'm gonna jump in straight away, Greg. Hello, love you, miss you, great to see you. James, yes, why are you apologizing to Greg? You've immediately apologized to him for enduring this album, which he brought to the table. I only know about this album because Greg told me of its existence. So Greg, I think you should start by apologizing to us.
Yeah, I am sorry. I'm sorry for what's about to happen. I'd love to tell you where, like, I remember vividly the day that I first heard this album. And where, because I bought it. I've long since lost it.
You bought it?
Yeah, I've long since lost the album. I don't know what happened to it. I had it on CD. It was back in the early 2000s. I was in a JB Hi-Fi and there was a $2 bin. And I loved Billy Bob Thornton as an actor. I thought he was great. And I thought, how could his album not be great? You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's going to be perfect. It's going to be the best. And I got the album and, you know, this was sort of like it wasn't pre-internet, but it was when you didn't know everything about celebrities necessarily. You didn't look every celebrity up and I didn't know if he was a good person or a bad person or what he was. I just thought he's a good actor.
And good actor, bad Santa.
Yeah, exactly. And I got his album and it blew me away. It just absolutely blew me away. I couldn't believe it. And I'm so happy that we're talking about it.
This album, the reason why it felt like I had to personally apologize is this is so close to something that I would listen to.
Yes.
It is like so, it is so, so, it actually reminds me of like, for my, like I had my 30th birthday in lockdown and my wife being very kind made like a playlist for me of music that she thinks I like. Mm-hmm. And each one was like just slightly off in a devastating way as if she was mocking me. Like the first track was Billy Joel's Only the Good Die Young. There's a lot of like, this is the exact kind of lame I think you are.
Right. And you know, it's funny that you say that because as I was listening to this album, about halfway through, I just messaged James to say, I can't take this anymore. I'm having a terrible time. But I was fully expecting you to reply that it was your favorite album we've listened to. Like, I absolutely thought you were going to froth this, James. I'm actually quite surprised that you don't like it. I thought this was right up your alley.
I think that that's the beauty of this album is that, you know, my dad is someone who loves country music and music that I would consider a little bit on the cheesy side of things. And I was like, oh, maybe dad will appreciate this album. And he played one track and went, this is a pile of shit. Like,
I feel like a lot of people would have bought this album from the $2 bin at JB Hi-Fi for their dad for Christmas in the same way that you'd buy like whatever DVD was at the bottom of the bargain bin for your dad. Like poor dads.
Yeah, poor dads. I've had a tough go of it.
I have.
I think getting into this album, like, we always talk about what our impressions are of the actors before we go in. Like, what impression do we have of them? And I would say, before going in and listening to this, I would have thought that Billy Bob Thornton is quite reserved, but is deep and has, like, a lot of poetry within him. Mm-hmm. He's one of those people that still waters run deep, but he's thoughtful and he's tragic, maybe. All of these things that you get from his withered expression. Turns out, no. Mm. Not a lot going on there.
What were you expecting, Greg?
Well, I was saying, like, I thought Billy Bob Thornton, based on his acting, was a very intelligent, very sort of dark and mysterious man who put everything he had into his role. And now that I've heard this album, I think that he is just so dim. When he does a role, he's like, yeah, I am a gangster. Or, like, you know, like, he's so good at acting because he doesn't have the ability to recognize anything, you know, if that makes sense. Like, he's have any self-awareness whatsoever.
I love this brutal character assassination right off the top.
Yeah.
He's so natural because it's genuinely as if he's hearing the other person's lines for the first time because he has the brain of a goldfish. And any time he looks away, he forgets.
He's smarter than everyone else then. Like, maybe he's just, like, transcended to a new level. I was not expecting... I mean, I suppose I was expecting, like, deep poetic lyrics, like you said, James, but... When I think of Billy Bob Thornton, apart from thinking about the aforementioned Bad Santa, the thing that springs to mind for me is when he and Angelina Jolie were together and they wore, purportedly, they wore necklaces with, like, a vial of each other's blood. And so I was like, if anybody is getting around wearing a necklace with their girlfriend's blood in it, surely it's going to be a bit more like rock or metal or, like, that vibe. That's what I was hoping for.
I feel like the name Billy Bob transcends any vial when it comes to what genre you're going to be doing. That's it. That I forgot about that, Bridie. That's a real, like, Machine Gun Kelly, Megan Fox-ass relationship of our generation.
Yeah. It that is was the only psycho. Thing I remember about him. I've seen so many Billy Bob Thornton movies, but I can only tell you about the necklace because it's, like, taking up more space in my brain than his acting career. He's, like, an Academy Award nominated screenwriter. Like, he's done incredible things. I don't care. He wore a necklace of blood.
Yeah. Well, I would say that this album and stories like that, the necklace of blood story, really just changes my perspective when I watch Billy Bob Thornton stuff, especially the film Sling Blade. I don't know if you've ever seen the film Sling Blade, but when I first saw it, I was like, wow, this is good. This is powerful. This is incredible. You know, he'd like act, he was the star and he also directed it. And I think he wrote it.
He did write it.
Yeah. And now when I watch it, I'm just like, oh man, you are cooked in the mind. Like, you have come up with this story that you've just written and starred in yourself, and it's not okay. It's just, I can't watch that movie now. He's doing it like an impression of a man with disabilities, and it's like, oh my God, what is this movie?
It's all always coming back to, I think, for a lot of these vanity projects, hot people privilege, right? Because if just a normal man who didn't look like a movie star was like, I've written some poetry and also I'm wearing blood, you'd be like, okay, thank you for showing your red flags so upfront. But we get distracted by star quality.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he really gets the Angelina Jolie bump as well. Oh. That you're like, oh my God, there must be something going on here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, shall we dive right in? Shall we listen to the first track, which is called
Please, God.
Dark and Mad, which I thought I misread when I started listening to the album, and I thought it was Mark and Dad, and I was like, yeah, I'm ready. It's not Mark and Dad, it's Dark and Mad. Buckle up, let's go.
It's the last one to know when love comes to an end. Feel I so crazy, lonesome and sad. Watching me dark and mad. Watching me dark and mad.
That was Mark and Dad by Billy Bob Thornton from Private Radio. Okay, let's get first thoughts. Greg, what did you think at this point in the album?
When I... You know, set the scene, right? When I bought this album and I put it in my CD player and push play, I genuinely thought, here we go, this could be really good. And my hopes were dashed in a second.
In the first lyric.
Why is this window so dirty and grey?
The first lyric, why is this window so dirty and grey? I was like, this is a parody already. This sounds like, you know, South Park-esque parody. Yeah. And the lyrics, the song is called Dark and Mad. This is what a 10-year-old boy would write as his, like, country song, like Dark and Mad. Yeah. And it's so, he has these weird metaphors that are so literal. He's like, I can't see, there's all these doors and I can't get a handle on the doors.
So this is where I disagree, okay? Because I think you've already been too generous. I don't think it is a metaphor. I think he's trapped in a house. And I think it should be called, I think it does actually make more sense if the song is called Mark and Dad. Hear me out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it feels like a conversation between like a curmudgeonly old granddad or father figure and the kid who's just like moved out of home for the first time and can't clean up his house. The lyrics of the first bit read, why is this window so dirty and grey? I can't see through it anymore. It may be the smoke. It's hard to say. The fact is, this place has too many doors. I can't find a handle on any of them. Like, to me, that's classic Mark and Dad banter. You can't argue it.
You're stuck in an Eldritch horror set in a Doors Plus.
I would love you to do a sort of scripted, dramatic portrayal of Billy Bob Thornton's songs on this album. Like, you could do like each one, like just like a spoken word version of the album. I think it would be great.
Oh my God.
It's also interesting, like, from someone who, I like this genre, like you say, this is very close to what I would listen to, that because everything else is very standard for this kind of music, it really shows off specifically the parts that Billy Bob had to do and how shit they are. It's like everyone else did their job on the group project.
It came to
his slide and it's MS Paint and it doesn't make fucking sense.
And it's true, James. Some of the musicians that are that recorded this album with them are phenomenal. They've toured with all the greats. You know, I was looking up the bios of all the guitarists and, you know, percussion and all of that. These are like acclaimed musicians who've toured with Johnny Cash and like everyone. They are so good, but you're right. All it does is highlight the bits that are not as good.
Yeah.
And it's also like we talk about this every so often, but like, what is the mentality? What did they want us to believe while we're listening to this album? And this one is clearer than anything that it's Billy Bob Thornton wants to be Blood on the Tracks Bob Dylan. He really, really badly wants you to listen to this and think, oh my God, he is a brooding genius. And it just so happens that like, even if this song was a metaphor about windows, it would be better than doors.
Yeah.
Like, it's very odd to pick doors on this.
The fact is, there's too many doors. My favorite lyric of all time.
The fact is,
this place has too many doors.
All right, let's go into the track Forever, a track which its timing really lives up to its title.
Hey, baby, it's me. Listen, I'm gonna talk fast. This is long distance. Yeah, I'm sitting here at the Waffle House.
Yuck! Ew!
Yeah, this
Yuck!
Is gross. My first thought listening to this track is, this is what happens when, you know, you're saying, Mum, can we listen to Leonard Cohen? And she goes, we've got Leonard Cohen at home. And this is what you've got.
That is spot on. I also think it should be illegal for any song to start with slurping, swallowing noises. Immediately disgusted.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what... See, I think this is somewhat innovative because it's a pervert ASMR from, like, 20 years ago. Like, he has really foreseen the whole genre of people being gross and making mouth sounds really close to their microphone.
Yeah, that's... It's... I don't know, like, I just can't understand why anyone would ever listen to this album. You know, like, this is the song that, for me, really clinches it. The second that he starts talking, like, is there one person on this earth that at that point went, you know what, I'm sticking with this?
Well, that's a great question, actually. Rhetorical as it may have been intended, because when I clicked on this track, I went to the YouTube video and the comments, the Billy Bob Thornton fans absolutely bloody love this album. And great, because we all need hobbies and passions and I'm really happy for them. But I've found that with a lot of the albums that we've actually touched on in this series, James, the fans are like, I don't care what song you do, if it's coming from John Travolta or Robert Downey Jr. or Billy Bob Thornton, I will love it, regardless of how it sounds. And there's such defensive comments in the YouTube. They love them. They love this album. So it's got its fans, I suppose.
It is. So who told him this was hot?
Ugh.
Like, because it's clearly trying to be, like, this is his sexy track. And I guess he had at this point already made a career out of, you know, a dark voice and very slow. But it's not sexy in any, I guess, like, to Bridie's point, you can't start with the sound of gulping and then be like, all right, everyone turned on.
It's a low bar. Hey, I wonder what the next song is about. This is Angelina.
Yeah, Angelina. Can you feel it? Watch the angels as they dance in up above. Angelina. What's come between us?
Angelina, Billy Bob Thornton, Private Radio.
Your voice is so dead inside.
This is the track that I suddenly went, okay, I love this album now. This is the track where I went, this is comedy gold and this is funny.
Yes.
There's the line in the chorus that I just love more than anything in the world, and I've sung it a million times since, is when he just goes, Angelina, what's this between us? It's just the magic and the mystery of love.
Oh.
The funniest. Like, that is a comedy song. That is a comedy song, and he doesn't know he's written a comedy song.
Which are some of the best comedy songs, to be fair.
Yeah.
I would like to continue my thesis statement from previous tracks, that this is not a metaphor or even an album. He's literally stuck in a house. He's still stuck in a house. The first lines of this song are, she walked into an elevator, I've walked into a wall. That's happened because the windows are so dirty. He can't see what's happening. There's too many doors. He's walked into a wall. Send him in. Help him out. Stop talking about the tracks. We got to go rescue him.
I love how shitty his metaphors are in this.
Yeah.
There's maybe one of my favorite verses we've ever done is, they all said we never make it, fairly standard start. Mm-hmm. And so many songs have this. Two crazy panthers on the prowl. You and me, baby, we're two crazy panthers on the prowl. They said we would only fake it for a while, but we looked at them and growled.
Again, you're reading metaphors where there are none. They're literal panthers literally growling. I can't be any more obvious.
I love the ego that anyone has, like, saying lines like that. Like, they all said we'd never make it. Like, anyone gives a shit. I guess they're celebrities, so maybe they do, but it's just such a funny thing. Like, it's us against the world. It's like, everyone's doing their own thing, dude. Like, you're two people who started rooting for a bit. Like,
exactly. Everyone said these two insanely hot, rich, famous people could never like each other.
Yeah, what could they possibly find in common?
Dermatologists don't want you to know.
What?
Also, not to dance on the grave, but you didn't make it, dude. You straight up did it. I've seen Mr. and Mrs. Smith. You did not make it.
I want to know how, because I just genuinely don't know. I should have looked this up. But when did Angelina and Billy Bob break up? How long were they together? Because
Bridie Connell?
I'll do a live Google. Hold up.
Because what I'm interested in, because this album was, like, came out in, what, 2001?
Okay, can we get Greg? You and I are going to put bets
on
this.
Bets
on what's your over-under? I reckon 4 years.
After this album, Or 4 years.
No, I reckon they lasted 4 years.
They lasted 4 years. I reckon six. I'm going to say six.
Yeah, I don't know if you can put this out, because I don't think you can be together in a like relationship for 5 years and then put out a song like this.
Yeah.
This has to be in the first 2 years of the relationship.
Yeah, for sure.
Or your partner's going to be like, what the fuck are you doing?
I yeah, have the results. Absolutely. Would you like to know? Have you locked in two and... what did you say? Four and six? You've locked
four
it in?
Four and six.
Mm-hmm.
May 2000, they get married. September 2001, bad time to release an album. The album comes out. The Vials of Blood happen. The Billy Bob Forever tattoo happens. August 2002, they divorce.
Oh, wow. The under. Oh. Also, sorry we skipped over this. This album came out the same month as 9/11.
Yeah. I did forget to say that at the top. Oh. It's not. I
bet. Two disasters.
I bet. He's not wrong, but I bet to this day Billy Bob still is like, you know what, that would have been a number one hit if it wasn't for that damn like I was overshadowed, my opus was overshadowed.
This was an attack from Bin Laden on me personally.
Oh my god,
this is actually, weirdly, here's a weird bit of musical trivia, but like this is when Bob Dylan's Love and Theft comes out just after this and is kind of the resurgence of Dylan. It's this weird, like America is looking back to its roots after this event happens. Like, there was a moment that Billy Bob could have capitalized on here if only he had a good album.
Hey, just quickly back to Angelina and Billy's ill-fated relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I am going to posit something, and I'd like to know if you agree or disagree, and if you were Billy Bob Thornton or Angelina Jolie, where you would sit. So I would rather tattoo the name of my boyfriend, even if we break up and I have to like get costly and painful laser tattoo removal surgery or change the tattoo. I would rather have that than have released a song like this about my boyfriend, which will live forever on the internet. Yes or no?
Yeah.
Because one will live forever on my body, but like that's less embarrassing than this. Thoughts?
I agree with you.
100% agree.
How are you covering up a tattoo that says Billy Bob Forever? How are you going to alter that?
Just a classic little Billy Bob for never. It's like a sweet burn. It's aesthetically very pleasing.
Mm-hmm. I love the idea of Angelina Jolie trying to be like, oh, it's about a different Billy Bob, one that you don't know him. He's actually still really cool.
Hey, do you all like being bored? Great, you've come to the right place for that album. Here's the next song.
You saved me from my reasons for the span of a drink for as long as I think.
That is Nick Cave and Kylie Minogue, Where the Wild Roses Grow. Starlit Lounge, Billy Bob Thornton, truly a boring ass song. Also, can we talk about, like, use this as a chance to talk about the film clips of these? Because he made a lot of film clips to go along with these songs. And this one is very literally set in the smoky starlit lounge, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And it is two people performing at either side of the lounge doing a duet who both seem as bored performing it as I am watching
it. The vocal performance, the vocal arrangement, the entire arrangement, right, of all the instruments in this is just so sleepy. Like, that's the best word that I can come up with for it. And it's a real shame because this is a duet. It's Billy Bob Thornton and a country artist called Holly Lamar, who is an amazing singer and songwriter. She wrote for, like, Faith Hill and Tim McGraw, like, big names, right? She's Grammy nominee. And I'm like, you've completely wasted this talent. Like, again, there's so many incredible people involved in this album, but it's just come out with something which is just slow and sleepy.
Yeah, and it's so hard. I mean, it's not that hard to imagine why people do it, because he probably had a lot of money and went, I'll pay you lots of money to do it. But it's different with music because, you know, with a film or, you know, anything, you know, in film or TV, it's hard to know if it will be bad when you're making it, right? Because there's so many steps that still have to be done. after you've shot your thing and all the rest of it. But with music, it's like, you know, once you're singing along to the song, you know what the song is. You know what the lyrics are. You know in that moment, this sucks. But this, yeah, this is the song. Because, like, this is the problem with this album is it could almost be a comedy classic if it wasn't for a few tracks like this that are just literally nothing. And that's the worst thing you can say about it. It's like, oh, I can't even think of something funny to say about it because it's just boring. It's just nothing.
Can I give you some YouTube comment reaction to this?
Please.
Which is, let's give you a couple. Eric King says, in all caps, Billy, your voice is historical. Your soul is visible. Thank you, brother. Drudy says, Billy Bob Thornton helps get me through the day. 3 exclamation points. Thanks, 4 exclamation points. And my favorite comment from Jason says, this inspires me to continue with my terrible art.
How many devices do you think Billy Bob Thornton has set up with fake profiles at home making these comments?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
There's one on there that is like, oh, Billy Bob, I could just, it doesn't matter. He could just be sitting there on a chair and I get to look at his face and I'll be happy. And I'm like, this is the perfect film clip for you because that's all you're
that's
fucking getting.
All he does. Hey, Greg, I don't think, I don't know if we mentioned this at the top, but we have a rule here at Vanity Project that if we just think it's too deeply boring or bad and we just want to call time on the album, we can call time on it, but we need a majority. And I would just love to say that I'm out, and I've been out for many songs now. I'd love to stop this hell.
No, I'm still in.
I'm still in because there's some good stuff that's
there's
coming.
Some stuff coming.
There's one of the best songs I've ever heard coming.
All right, let's get to it.
He is walking straight.
He said, I'll give you a ride, cause this is a dangerous town. She stepped out like a woman and took that walk of shame.
Oh.
Walk of shame.
It's because, is he talking about the walk of shame as in like when you've hooked up with someone and you do that walk of shame the next day? What is the...
I think so. A lot of these songs have the tone of, you've just fucked me and it was clearly a mistake.
I would listen to an album if it was titled that, because at least it's honest.
Yeah. Billy Bob Thornton just smiling. You've just fucked me and it was clearly a mistake. I would pay $50 for that album. Yeah, that song as well, like, that was kind of more upbeat, boring to me. You know, it was kind of, it's just by the numbers country moving along.
Yeah, exactly.
It was awful enough to be interesting.
Yeah, like, yeah, oh yeah.
there's a real, like, you know when the artist thinks they're making a love story, but everyone listening thinks, this girl is not safe with you.
Absolutely
that's the
not.
Real vibe of
yes. Oh, especially yeah. when, you know what the red flag is? He said, I'll give you a ride because this is a dangerous town. I'm like, yes, you're the danger. You've then took her to a motel and had like a bad night together. Like, you're the dangerous part of the town. Go away, Billy, Bob.
I assume Angelina left him. Yeah. And I would hope that was how it worked out.
This has the same. We had a similar thing in the Bacon Brothers tracks, but again, a guy who is bad news, but his whole song is affirming the woman he's with. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, yeah, you're walking home after our bad hookup, but you're powerful. There'll be no guilt, there'll be no pain, there'll be no tears. You're just gonna do this. Well, like, maybe if you weren't a piece of shit, there wouldn't be such an emotional journey
you
from your
have
house.
To talk so much about no guilt, shame, and tears. Like, that shouldn't be the standard.
Yeah.
It should be a walk of pride. It should be a little strut of fun.
Yeah, she didn't even know his name. Bullshit. It was Billy Bob Thornton. He's very famous.
Let's move it along.
So our next track has been scrubbed from the internet.
Thank
now,
the Lord.
All of these tracks are very hard to find. This is like we should have mentioned at the top of this, but like no streaming service. Streaming services used to have this on, and there's like the ghost of this album, but we've really had to seek out all of these. Now, all we have from this track, Smoking in Bed, is a Bill Maher interview about it and the lyrics. Bridie, would you like to do a, as you have done already, a dramatic reading of some of the lyrics of Smoking in Bed for us?
More than anything.
I would love to, after that, do a little sing, because I remember how it goes.
Oh, can we please have this?
Oh, my
God. No, 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 you do the dramatic reading, because I want to hear what you think it sounds like.
Okay.
And then I can sing what it actually sounds like.
New favorite game. This is great.
This is such a fun game. All right, you can play along at home. Here we go. Smoking in Bed by Billy Bob Thornton. Lightning bugs buzzing round the piss elm tree. I'm 100 miles from reality. Take a big drag, suck it all in, blow it out the window. Let it ride on the wind. And here is the chorus, which I'm actually going to change my read here, because it does have a bit of a Dr. Seuss kind of feel to it. Smoking in bed, smoking in bed. It's bad for my body, but good for my head. I like to lay around the house and smoke in bed. Thank you.
Yeah.
Greg, how close was she?
Well, this song is such a shame. This is one of the truly great tracks. This is the best track on the album by far. It is, because it's upbeat. It's like an upbeat boogie. He's getting down. And the chorus is like, smoking in bed, it's bad for my body, but good for my head. I like to lay around the house and smoke in bed. And then like the last chorus, I could be remembering this wrong, but I'm sure that he's like, smoking in bed, it's bad for my body, but good for my head. I like to lay around the house and smoke in bed. And then he goes, yep. It's just like, it's really like upbeat rock and roll, like, or, you know, country rock and roll, whatever
it is. Thank God that we've had this exercise and read the lyrics out as well, because now we know why the windows are so dirty from track one, because it's
just charging darts.
There are some incredible rhymes he tries to pull off in this as well. Have you all ever seen a mattress burn while listening to the birds sing turn, turn, turn? I think it's time to roll me a big old fatty and try to find the phone and call Miss Paisley Patty.
Also, I like the fact that he is just a big Peter Garrett fan, and he's like, you know that song, Beds Are Burning, but like, have you, like, if a mattress is burning, but like, you're also listening to... But stay with me. Like, that's the writing process here.
Yeah.
I really enjoy it.
Shall we move on to Your Blue Shadow?
Your blue shadow, I can't escape. Your blue shadow.
Another boring one.
Yeah.
Greg, what do you reckon?
Yeah, that was another boring one. It's that's the thing with an album like this. It's like watching a bad movie that someone tried to make good, right?
Mm.
It's, you know, when you have a movie that's so bad that it's funny, it is also like kind of just these long periods of like, this is just boring now, and you kind of want to turn it off, but then you're like, but the next one might be all right. And this is one of those ones where you're like, oh, am I done here?
Yeah. There is a real, like, again, like, this is not good country music, but it also doesn't feel like, weirdly, doesn't feel in any way authentic, but it doesn't remind me of country music in a similar look. It feels like, and Bridie, I know you love whenever I reference them, it's U2's Rattle and Hub, where it's not so much that you're into country music, it's that you've heard it, and you're like, you know what, I could do an album of that, it's fine.
I don't know, I think because I just assume all successful actors must be great storytellers in every artistic medium. I kind of thought that country would be like a really good choice for Billy Bob Thornton, because it is such like a narrative heavy genre. Like, that's so many of the best country songs. Like, that story is like totally in the very fabric of it. But I don't actually get a sense, apart from being literally stuck in a house with too many doors, I don't know what the story is, and I don't know who the character behind the songs are.
It's true, because he's got, like, he does have the vocal tone of someone who should be good at this. And, like, it's all, for some reason, whenever I was listening to these, my YouTube algorithm would always, like, move me on to a John Prine song, and, like, or some performance of his. And I would be, like, absentmindedly listening to the song, and then a Prine song kicks in, like, oh, this is more like it. This is really good. And you're like, oh, this is an actual country musician. Okay. Yeah. Shall we go on to That Mountain?
She said, I want to go over that mountain before the day that I die.
That Mountain, one of the few songs that Billy Bob Thornton has kept on his personal YouTube account, so he seems to be proud of this one. I would say the again, the backing music is good backing music. It is capable
it's
of
lovely.
It could be on 100 and it is on 100 different good country songs.
Yeah, this one sounds like if the album was all songs like this, you'd be like, oh yeah, he did a country album, it's all right.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's not good, but it's not, it feels pretty paint by the numbers. This one isn't
a bit more story.
Yeah. And it's, you know, got a bit of a good beat going and it's not terrible. Like the song itself is like, the music itself is like fine.
It does feel like if you were doing my first country song, like, okay, like let's just go through the list of things he names in this. There's a black train he's been hearing every night at sundown. There's a screen door and there's a rocking chair. His mum is in it. She sees that mountain. She wants to go over that mountain. She hasn't been over that mountain, but she really wants to. She's 87 years old. She sees the train as well. She wants to go over the mountain. I would say catch the train. The train seems to be going over the mountain.
Also, bingo!
Yeah.
I was only missing pickup truck.
Yeah.
We got boot hills and gravels. We've got daddy's hollering.
Daddy's hollering. I'm sure that it is daddy is hollering, but I like to think it's daddy's. Like there's just a field of daddies hollering in the night.
You can hear their lonesome cry. The dads all go out into the paddock and they holler at the full moon.
Oh, that's beautiful. Now that is a great and horrifying image. Look, I think we've all decided that this song is just fine, and that's great. But we are in, you know how I said before, I was sort of bemoaning the lack of like story or a narrative arc. Well, you know, you got to be careful what you wish for, because we definitely get it in the next song. He was a friend of mine. Here we go.
He was a friend of mine. He was in Dallas town.
All right. He was a friend of mine. So now, a little bit of context we have to get. This is a folk standard, like, he was a friend of mine. It's a great, like, dirge for death of a comrade. Everyone's done it. Bob Dylan's done it, stuff. This is the Byrds version. The Byrds version is about the death of JFK. He's also changed it to make it worse and remove a lot of the detail they have in their cover.
Exactly.
And also, as he mentioned up top, he was 3 years old when this happened. I don't know if he was a friend of yours, and if he was, why is JFK hanging out with three-year-olds?
I think he was in third grade, actually.
Oh, sorry, how dare
Billy Bob. But I don't remember anything from grade three. So your point still stands. I agree. I'm like, it's a song, a classic song, and it's taken out some of the best things about it. I don't know why you would do that.
I like it.
This is news to me that this is a classic song, right? That has changed. I genuinely thought Billy Bob Thornton had just written a song about the assassination of JFK. I had no idea that this was a classic song. And that had, like, that made me lose my mind. Like, not hearing Billy Bob sing a song about JFK made me lose my mind completely. And but even then, my criticism is still somewhat valid. This is the song that made me think he might be a sociopath.
Yeah.
Like, he might be an actual sociopath, because he's gone, you know what? I think it's important that I sing about JFK and talk about where I was and my relationship to JFK as a boy.
Hot takes.
I also think, like, much more likely, if I was just judging from Billy Bob Thornton from Blank, I would say it was more likely he was in the window of the book depository than a friend of JFK.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No one with a vial of blood around their neck is a friend. Like, they are getting in book depositories, you know. They are going to sniper schools. That's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Could you please, I just wanted to ask, you know, if I die, God forbid, but if I die and you two decide the best way to remember me is to release a country song, which, you know, seems fitting, could you please not put it in a major key?
Yeah, that's...
It's deeply funny to me that this, like, sad memorial
but
song...
But they were friends.
It's, like, quite rollicking.
Yeah, it is. It's very upbeat. It's very, like, it's, you know, it's got a bit of pace to it. It's in a major key. It sounds nice and happy. Yeah, that a man really getting does. Shot in the back of the head. It's full on. Like, it's... Jesus.
I promise you, Bridie, she was a podcast co-host of mine. It's going to be in a minor key.
Thank you.
This is the point where I will happily hit the off rail if, Greg, you will also turn your key, or... We could stay on for one more. How are you feeling?
Oh, look, I mean, I don't think there's much else. Like, the album does kind of peter out. there is one song. We don't even have to play it, but I will mention it, maybe, or...
I believe I know what you're talking about as well. Beauty at the Back Door.
Yep.
Let's have a snippet of Beauty at the Back Door.
There's a hickory nut tree that covers the whole roof. Sounds like hand grenades hitting the tin roof all the time. It's an old wood floor. It's bowed up just about everywhere.
Now, listener, I would like you to guess for yourself in your own head right now, how long do you think that song goes for? And you're wrong. It's like 10 minutes to the point that I had to check three different sources to make sure, like, is this a YouTube prank someone's playing?
Mm-hmm.
I had to check it also. Would we even call it a song or, like, just a crime? I don't know. Like, it's... I'm going to put this into word counter. That's what I'm going to do for everyone listening at home because this 9-minute song, right? We've had some thoughts about some of the lyrics, you know, so far, leaving a lot to be desired. The way to do that is not to, like, put in more and more and more lyrics. We are just sitting at 600 words. That's so... Oh, my God. Yeah. It's like an essay, this song.
Yeah. And what's... This song is what happens when being a celebrity cooks your mind.
Yeah.
This is a man who is so used to people looking at him and going, oh, you're Billy Bob Thornton, that he's gone, what if I just say stuff for 10 minutes?
This is...
Oh, my God.
This is recorded. I can say it's 100% certainty. This is recorded on the Suicide Tuesday after a huge week of cocaine.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about, you know how I did a dramatic reading of what I thought, you know, like some of the lyrics, you know, trying to breathe some life into them. I reckon, actually, this reads as one of the, like, audition monologues for NIDA. That's what I reckon. This is. There's a screened-in porch in the front, but not in the back. The back's just got a door and a crepe myrtle bush and a little old dried-up garden and some woods way on back. There's a hickory nut tree that covers the whole roof. It goes for so long.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
It literally, and it is literal. It's literally describing out the back door of it. And the credit that I'll give to Billy Bob is when I saw the title of the track, I thought, and based on the things I'd already heard, I thought, yuck.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Agreed.
we're going to have a yuck sexual song that's really rotten. And then it was, no, literally... Here's some things I saw out the back door of the house.
Her dress was kind of red and kind of grey, kind of tore up and kind of perfect. She was built like a brick shit house. Like...
That's hot.
He just says that.
That's the kind of banter that gets you Angelina Jolie.
Oh my God. Please tell us. It's over, right? Are we done?
I think we're done on this dramatic reading of the McCain's ad. Okay, so the first thing we have to ask at this point is, what songs from this album would we induct into the Vendi Project podcast playlist Hall of Fame? And I'm going to say, obviously, Angelina.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone have a sec? Does anyone believe a second track deserves to be on there?
Yeah, Mark and Dad is the funniest song I've ever heard.
I would say if you had a copy of Smoking in Bed, that would make it. I really hope that someone can find it someday, because you've got to do yourself a favor. It's such a good track.
If anyone listening finds it, please let us know and we'll include it on the next episode. Send it through to
Billy
us.
Billy Bob, if you're listening, please.
Oh, what I love too, because I don't know if you've seen interviews with, there's a famous interview where Billy Bob goes like psycho at someone in a radio interview. Not psycho, but like derails the interview because he mentions acting. And he's like, why would you, like, I'm a musician, why would you even do that? And he's like, well, you're famous for acting. I mean, come on. Like,
wow.
It reminds me of that I Think You Should Leave sketch where Santa Claus is an actor in an action film and is furious that anyone would bring up him being Santa Claus.
<that's right. laughs> Yeah, and I think if Billy Bob was listening to this, he wouldn't have even a hint of irony or self-reflection. He would be so mad. He would hunt us down.
Oh,
yeah, 100%. And then he would write about how he was all of our friends.
Yeah.
And if it didn't come out in September 2001, it could have been a different story.
The good news is he recorded three other albums after this, which we will all get to. But Greg, before we get there, was this album a mistake?
No, I'm glad it exists. I'm glad it's out there. I'm glad it exists. I think, for better or worse, we need it.
Brady Connell, was this album a mistake?
It's not the album we need, it's the album we deserve. just like going into a house with too many doors and getting trapped there for 21 years. Yeah, man, this is a massive mistake. James, is this album a mistake?
Do you know, those terrorists took a lot of things from us on September 11th, 2001. The ability to properly appreciate this work of art might be top amongst them. This is a pre-9/11 album for a 9/11 world, and the mistake was not recording this album. It was testing America. How dare you?
We are all going to burn in hell, three of us. Wow. What a great time. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode of Vanity Project.
Thank you very much for joining us, Greg. Anyone listening, please check out Greg at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. We all have Bloody Thoughts, which is on for the next couple weeks, I believe.
Yep, up until the end of the festival, which is like the 20-something of April. 24th, yeah. So plenty of shows left. Go see it.
Greg is the best. Truly, truly, truly is the best. He's modest, but he is the best, so you should go check it out. He's a very funny person.
And everyone listening along, do all the podcast things that I tell. I've never once in this show actually gone through the please like and review normally. It always gets you about this
podcast. I can't do the intro and you can't do the outro, but you won't let us swap for some reason.
No. Okay, so thank you to Aaron Dobos and to a lesser extent Fraser Harvey for recording our theme, Evie Hillier for our artwork, and you, our listener, for listening.
And you, Billy Bob. Smoking in bed. Bad for your body, but good for your head. Bye.
Have a cigarette in bed for us this week. Bye.